Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this.
I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 50-plus job sites, including Craigslist, LinkedIn, and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 200,000 businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
The Israeli withdrawal. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. It's Tuesday, August 5th. Welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
Israel says it has pulled all its troops from Gaza. In addition, a 72-hour ceasefire began today between Israeli forces and Hamas militants.
The two Americans who contracted the Ebola virus while working in Liberia were treated there with an unapproved drug. You'll hear their status.
Water restrictions in the Toledo, Ohio area have been lifted. Officials have determined that toxins from algae are no longer dangerous.
And in politics, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul hasn't said he's running for president, but he sure is acting like it.
Senator Paul stands out in that he's really been the most aggressive in the field in hiring staff, making trips to states that hold the earliest nominating contests, just laying all the groundwork that you need to do so that when he does decide to run, as I think he will, he just has to basically flip a switch.
Wall Street Journal reporter Beth Reinhard is on the road tracking Senator Paul. She's here in about 25 minutes. Well, as you've heard by now, there's no approved vaccine or treatment for the deadly Ebola disease, which has killed roughly 900 people in West Africa. And now there's word that the two Americans infected with Ebola in Liberia were treated there with an experimental drug not yet evaluated for safety in humans. One of those patients is now being treated in Atlanta at Emory University Hospital. The other is expected to arrive there today. Wall Street Journal reporter Cameron McWhorter says it's too early to know if the drug, developed by a U.S. company, has been successful. He's with us from Atlanta on the T-Mobile hotline. Cam, what's the status?
That drug was given to them in Liberia, and it seems to have had some impact. And now we're not sure if they're using the drug now in the United States. But as of now, there's no approved official vaccine for this deadly illness.
What kind of impact is it having so far, Cam?
Well, we know that the first patient who arrived, he came here on Saturday, Dr. Kent Brantley, is apparently improving, and signs are encouraging that he's getting better. The second patient, a woman, she's 59 years old. The doctor's 33, and it's believed that age plays a role in how well you can do with this disease because it's an immune issue. So you basically, your immune system has to fight this disease, and if you're younger and you have a better chance.
Can you elaborate on the process that brought each of these victims to the United States?
A special plane that was sort of a flying ambulance that could be, it has sort of a mini isolation unit in it, was sealed, and it flew over, it was commissioned and flew over to Liberia, picked up Dr. Brantley and flew him back. He landed at Dobbins Air Reserve Base here outside of Atlanta, and then was driven with in a special ambulance with a police escort across the city to Emory University Hospital He was wearing a biohazard suit, and he walked into the hospital and is now in an isolation unit there. And that exact same process, whether she'll walk or not, we don't know, but that exact same process is going to take place with the other patient.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Cameron McWhorter in Atlanta. How extreme are the precautions taking place to make sure nobody else catches this?
This has been of great concern to a lot of people in Atlanta, and there's lots of discussion about it. But yes, the Emory University and the CDC are both stressing that they're taking numerous measures to make sure that no one else becomes infected. It is a disease that is not transmitted through the air or through some wild magic. It's bodily fluids. If you come in contact with someone who's sick with the illness and you come in contact with their bodily fluids, you could get this illness, and it's very deadly. But they believe that if they keep this person if they keep these people isolated, they keep them hydrated, they monitor their vitals, and they give them medication to keep fever down, et cetera, that eventually their own bodies will fight the illness.
Could the experimental treatment be a big breakthrough for doctors trying to fight Ebola?
Yeah, well, we're just learning about it now, so that's a great question, and it's the one that everyone's asking, because we're not exactly sure how effective it's been, number one. Number two, this isn't approved. This isn't part of any, you can't go buy this at a pharmacy, so it's not clear what this medication is or what impact it may have in the future, but certainly it's got everybody's interest.
Is this the first time a disease like this has come to Atlanta and caused the public to have this kind of concern?
We've had SARS here. We've had other things. So this facility at Emory University, which collaborates with the CDC all the time, it's one of four in the United States that's specially commissioned to handle this type of highly communicable disease. So the idea is to, where else would it go? It's a perfect place for it. And people here, certainly the people at Emory, are talking fairly regularly with the CDC and seem to feel that everything's under control.
Thanks, Cam. Wall Street Journal reporter Cameron McWhirter in Atlanta. The White House, by the way, says U.S. officials have taken multiple precautions to prevent the spread of Ebola to this country, eliminating the need to block flights from African nations stricken by an outbreak of the deadly disease. The World Health Organization last week warned that the Ebola outbreak in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone is spreading quickly, and the consequences could be catastrophic if greater efforts aren't put into place to control it. 12 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal This Morning.
Being in global sales, I never know where my job will take me. The last thing I need to worry about while traveling is outrageous data charges. That's why I switched to T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business Plan. I get unlimited text and data in over 100 countries at no extra charge. No multiple SIM cards or international data plans. I just land, turn on my phone, and it works. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only. Subject to change. Capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobits per second. See T-Mobile.com for details and included destinations.
Thanks for being with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Stamps.com. Computers are designed to make running a business easier, including your mailing and shipping. Just use Stamps.com to get 24-hour access to the post office right from your computer. No waiting in line, no hassles. Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping easy. Just use the computer and printer you already have to get official U.S. postage for any letter, any package. Then print the postage directly onto envelopes, labels, even plain paper, and hand it to your mail carrier. There's no guesswork. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage you need for any class of mail. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer, a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer. It includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's Stamps.com. Enter WSJ. A fragile sense of calm has crept into parts of Gaza today after Israel and the terrorist group Hamas agreed to a 72-hour ceasefire. We take you now to Tel Aviv, where Wall Street Journal reporter Joshua Mitnick is stationed. Joshua, how'd this develop?
Even though Israel was not participating in these ceasefire talks, over the weekend they came together with a proposal that Israel says was not too much different from a proposal that Egypt put forward last month and was rejected by Hamas. The proposal basically says that the two sides agree to cease hostile activities at 8 o'clock this morning for 72 hours, and then eventually within the coming days, Israel is going to dispatch a delegation to Cairo, and there will be indirect talks with the Egyptians mediating in between the sides on the terms for a more permanent ceasefire, a long-lasting ceasefire.
Has there been any fighting since this ceasefire begin?
I just heard on Israel radio the chief Israeli army spokesperson saying that so far so good that the ceasefire has held. Just moments before, minutes before the ceasefire took hold, militants in Gaza were able to launch a barrage of rockets, I think maybe more than a dozen rockets into Israel, triggering alarms as far as Jerusalem, and in fact hitting, according to a report I've seen, a Palestinian village near Bethlehem in the West Bank. This was something that was expected by many, that Hamas would try to show right before the ceasefire that we're alive and kicking, that despite 3 weeks of massive Israeli onslaught, that the army did not succeed in wiping out Hamas. A sort of victory picture of sorts for Hamas.
Okay. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Joshua Mitnick in Tel Aviv this morning about the new 72-hour ceasefire in Gaza that took effect earlier this morning. In fact, 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern time here in the U.S. I have noticed that the U.S. has stepped up criticism, and you point that out in your story. Explain that.
Sunday, Israel fired on what it said was a motorcycle with three militants from Islamic Jihad that was right outside of a United Nations school, which was sheltering about 3,000 Palestinians in the southern Gaza Strip. And as a result of that attack, the shrapnel from that attack killed about 10 Palestinians and wounded many others. And this is not the first attack that's hit a UN shelter, and the U.S. officials saying it's a disgraceful attack, the United Nations calling it even criminal. It runs counter to what the narrative that the Israeli army itself has been putting out, that they go to extra lengths to avoid attacking areas where they know that there might be collateral damage.
Thanks, Josh. Wall Street Journal reporter Joshua Mitnick in Tel Aviv. By the way, some interesting stats from Wall Street Journal columnist Brett Stevens today about the double standards regarding criticism of Israel for civilian deaths in its battle with Hamas. In Iraq, 1,600 people killed there last month. A UN envoy says he's concerned about civilian deaths, not outraged. In Syria, 1,800 dead in the last 10 days in that civil war. The State Department, Brett says, issued a press release about concerns over cultural sites. In Libya, 200 killed last month in battles between rival militias. In Nigeria, 3,000 killed this year, 500,000 displaced, Boko Haram battling Muslims. Brett says there's indifference to Muslim suffering around the world when the person dropping the bomb or pulling the trigger is another Muslim. He says a world that makes a fetish of the alleged guilt of Israel is also a world that holds too much Muslim life cheap. It's 21 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning. In New York City at Mount Sinai Hospital, officials were testing a man for Ebola after he'd returned from West Africa with symptoms. However, hospital officials said odds were that this was not Ebola. Two Americans infected in Liberia were treated with an experimental drug. One patient is hygienist Nancy Wright-Bull, whose son is Jeremy Wright-Bull.
My dad said she was weak, but showing some good signs and some improvement. She was eating a little bit, able to take in fluid.
Ms. Wright-Bull was being brought to Atlanta's Emory University Hospital, where her colleague, Dr. Kent Brantley, was being treated. His wife said Brantley was in good spirits. James Brady has died at the age of 73. The former press secretary was shot during the 1981 assassination attempt that also wounded President Ronald Reagan.
He's lived with all sorts of health issues for years as a result of the injury sustained when he was shot.
Family spokesperson Gail Hoffman. Israel today pulled ground forces out of Gaza and started a 72-hour truce with Hamas, a step toward talks on a more permanent end to the month-long war. Several previous truce attempts, as you may know, have failed to end the deadly fighting. Toledo, Ohio Mayor Michael Collins says you can drink the water, lifting a ban on tap water consumption, saying tests showed toxins from algae were no longer a danger.
This is not the simplest of all issues. It is a problem that is really created by a variety of things. There's no one simple answer.
On Saturday, hundreds of thousands of residents were told to avoid the water. If a food package says gluten-free, well, then it better be. Starting today, food makers must ensure anything labeled gluten-free is basically free of wheat, rye, and barley. Stock futures bit negative after a higher close, the Dow up 76. Relatively light volume yesterday on Wall Street. A Brazilian model who underwent surgery to look like a Ken doll is now issuing his own. He's 20-year-old Celso Santibanez. He spent $50,000 on the procedures. The doll is set for an L.A. release.
Is it anticipated that he's going to recover those costs by the sale of this doll?
Not by the sale of the doll alone.
Okay.
He's getting attention for possibly maybe a reality show. I got to tell you, though, Gordon, he looks a lot like the new Ken doll.
Is that right?
The Ken doll that I had growing up looked different. It was blonde and blue-eyed.
Right.
Now the new one has darker hair.
Okay.
Good-looking kid, though, I have to say, this guy.
$50,000 to make himself look like a doll.
And as I was doing a little bit of poking around, I came across the real-life Barbie.
You did.
There are women out there who've undergone surgery to look like a Barbie.
Yes, yes. Where do you even begin on those stories? 24 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, who to blame for the rise in coffee prices.
Wake up to the Wall Street Journal this morning, now on the WSJ radio app.
Glad you're with us. Seeing the price of a cup of joe or bag of coffee starting to inch up, blame Brazil or Vietnam or Colombia. The world's biggest coffee-producing nations are also becoming increasingly large drinkers of it. Wall Street Journal reporter Leslie Josephs says coffee consumption is rising at a breakneck pace in those three countries, which combine to produce 60% of the world's beans. Leslie, is this basic supply and demand?
It's a little bit on the supply side, a little bit on the demand side. On the supply side, we had a record drought in Brazil and some coffee-growing regions, so we're expected to have a smaller crop. Brazil is the largest coffee producer in the world. It supplies about a third of the world's coffee. Mm. And then there are some supply issues in Central America, those wonderful gourmet beans with these very complex flavors that carry a big premium. Now those premiums are growing even more because they had a fungal disease. So there's that end. But what's new is that the demand, the patterns are starting to shift where the grower nations like Colombia, like Vietnam, like Brazil, the demand there is rising, and it's rising faster in traditional markets like the United States and Italy and Germany.
Wow. So some of those grower nations, what, have a newfound appreciation for their own coffee that they grow?
Partly. Some of it is very good marketing. Some very intrepid cafe owners saying, hey, this is ours, and this is how you should learn to appreciate it, and this is grown on our soil. But it's also buying power. We are seeing fast economic growth, maybe faster than certainly in Europe and the United States and some of these countries. So with that buying power comes affordable luxuries and some unaffordable luxuries, too.
There are more people drinking it.
Right. So Brazil, according to some market research firms and how they calculate retail sales, is going to surpass the United States this year as the number one coffee consumer. And that's in just volume. Brazil's consuming about 5 kilos a head a year. And the United States, this is spreading out amongst population numbers, of course, is about half that.
Thanks, Leslie. Wall Street Journal reporter Leslie Josephs, 30 minutes after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. If you don't have a will, the court may dictate what happens to your property and minor children. Don't let that happen. It's National Make-A-Will Month, so call or visit LegalZoom today for special pricing on wills and living trusts. LegalZoom has been helping people protect their families for over 13 years. They make it painless to get the legal help you need. Don't forget to enter WSJ in the referral box at checkout to save more. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. Protect your family and future today at LegalZoom.com. Hey, glad you're with us. Tuesday, August 5. Thanks for joining us. Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti. Our top stories right now, the ceasefire in Gaza. Toledo's tap water gets the okay. And on a lighter note, building a bridge with spaghetti. We'll have a look at an intense engineering course at Johns Hopkins University. That report in about 20 minutes. In politics, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul hasn't said whether he'll seek the 2016 Republican presidential nomination, but Wall Street Journal reporter Beth Reinhardt, who's been following him around Iowa lately, says his aggressive groundwork seems to point to no other outcome. Beth, what are you seeing?
There are a lot of folks, including Senator Paul, who are positioning themselves for presidential campaigns in 2016. We're not expecting any of them to make it official until after the midterm election. But Senator Paul stands out in that he's really been the most aggressive in the field in hiring staff, making trips to states that hold the earliest nominating contest, just laying all the groundwork that you need to do so that when he does decide to run, as I think he will, he just has to basically flip a switch and right. The political machine is ready to go.
What's the downside, I guess, to declaring now, Beth?
Well, you can't really declare you're running for president for a few reasons at this point. It would mostly because it just would be very awkward. Republicans are supposed to be very focused on winning the Senate. You know, they need 6 seats in November to win control of the Senate. And all the presidential candidates potential presidential candidates have endorsed many of these candidates or involved in their campaigns. And it would really be unseemly for them to say, I'm actually running for president and not interested in the party's fortunes in the Senate.
So at this point, it would seem weird if he's not going to run, just because, or at least in my opinion, just because he's made so many visits to a place like Iowa.
Right. In the past, there have been presidential hopefuls that have made a number of visits to Iowa, New Hampshire, others that are crucial to winning the nomination, and in the end, bowed out. But Senator Paul has actually hired folks in some of these states. He's hired political directors in Iowa and New Hampshire and in Michigan, another state that's crucial to winning the nomination. And making those announcements and then backing out would be surprising, I think, to a lot of people.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Beth Reinhardt in Iowa about Senator Rand Paul laying the groundwork for a 2016 presidential run. At this point, any idea what would derail a presidential run?
You know, you never know what happens in local campaigns and politics. One minute you're up, the next minute you're way down. We've seen that happen with Marco Rubio after he spearheaded passage of an immigration bill. We saw that with Governor Chris Christie in New Jersey in the wake of the scandal involving the traffic scam on the George Washington Bridge.
Yeah.
You know, they have their moment in the sun, and then something happens unexpectedly that seems to foil their chances. And then, you know, who knows, months later, they're back up at the top. So we just don't know what may unfold in the next few months for Senator Paul.
How is his fundraising, by the way?
It's pretty robust. I mean, the conventional wisdom would be that he is only good at sort of that small donor grassroots online fundraising that sort of the Tea Party is known for. But he's been really making efforts, in part with the help of folks who worked on the George W. Bush campaign, you know, to make inroads with those big bundlers, the folks that collect a lot of checks and can make a big difference in a campaign. He's been reaching out to those people, and he's had some success.
How is he distinguishing himself at this point from other candidates that might jump in?
Certainly, foreign policy is the brightest line between him and the rest of the field. And it's also a bright line between him and sort of party orthodoxy. The Republican Party for decades now has been known as, you know, muscular party when it comes to defense and intervention. And Senator Paul is very resistant to getting involved in other countries' problems. He wants to cut foreign aid. He wants to cut aid to Israel. These are going to be some of the tough questions he's going to have to answer.
Thanks, Beth. Wall Street Journal reporter Beth Reinhardt. So Senator Paul right now is in the middle of a 3-day trip to Iowa that lasts through tomorrow. It is 21 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. By the way, check out the new WSJ radio app. It brings the latest episodes of this program and all of your favorite Wall Street Journal radio shows to your fingertips. You can download the WSJ radio app for iPhone and iPad at Apple's App Store. Good Tuesday morning. Thanks for being with us. The Wall Street Journal this morning's Mike Gavitt is here now with a look at some of the stories we're following for you.
Well, Gordon, the mayor of Toledo raised a glass of water to celebrate the all clear for residents of his city to begin drinking the water there again. Meanwhile, Atlanta is on standby for a second Ebola-infected American to arrive from West Africa as hospitals around the country are stepping up alerts in order to catch any possible Ebola-infected people before this disease spreads here at home. Gina will have more in America America's First News coming up. P.F. Chang's customers are nervous after the restaurant chain said a security breach first reported in June may have led to the theft of customer data from credit and debit cards used at 33 restaurants in 16 states. P.F. Chang says that all card data has been processed securely at all locations since June 11th. That is, of course, until they tell us about the next security breach. Just about every day we hear about a new one.
Right. Remember we went there for our holiday lunches.
Yeah, not recently, right? Thankfully, but that was our go-to holiday lunch place for the show for a while.
So you think we're safe?
For now. Gordon, in case you were wondering, Michael Jordan still has it. There's a video that's been making the rounds, which shows the now 51-year-old legend shooting and making 11 shots in a row in front of kids and parents at his basketball camp. Now, to be fair, they weren't all long shots. A couple of them were layups.
Yes.
But he sort of made his way all around the court. He took some three-pointers.
Okay.
He took some long jumpers, and he made all 11 in a row, unless his video was doctored, but we think it's authentic. So he still has it.
You know you've hit the low point if you have to doctor a Michael Jordan video, right, to prove the guy can score.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do that.
Probably not.
And Gordon, not to be outdone by King James, NBA journeyman Brian Scalabrine has also announced he's coming home. Social media is buzzing this morning about how the now-retired NBA forward announced his return to Boston, where he won an NBA championship as a bench warmer and cult favorite in 2008 as a broadcaster by lampooning LeBron's I'm Coming Home Sports Illustrated cover and even writing his own tongue-in-cheek essay to go with it. In the essay, he says, "In Boston, nothing is given. Remember in the movie The Departed when Francis Costello said, 'No one gives it to you, you have to take it'? That was a great scene and a great Boston movie. I'm ready to accept the scallenge. Boston, I'm coming home." Very good. It's a very, very long essay. He put a lot of thought into this.
Is that right?
A lot of people are talking about this. It was pretty funny.
Very good. He thought about being an assistant coach.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think Mark Jackson had tried to bring him on or brought him on, something like that.
Yeah, it's been a very, very popular guy. Obviously, a great sense of humor, but a very, very popular guy during his playing days. And a lot of people, I guess, offered him a lot of different jobs. But he's coming home to Boston to be a broadcaster.
Very good. That's funny. Thank you, Mike. 16 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
As the owner of a delivery company, I have to be in constant contact with my drivers, the warehouse, and my customers. Between scheduling appointments, using GPS, and tracking orders on our smartphones and tablets, we were going way over our data limit every month. That's why I switched to T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business Plan. My company gets all the data we need without worrying about unpredictable overage charges. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only, subject to change.
Thanks for being with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Stamps.com. Computers are designed to make running a business easier, including your mailing and shipping. Just use Stamps.com to get 24-hour access to the post office right from your computer. No waiting in line, no hassles. Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping easy. Just use the computer and printer you already have to get official U.S. postage for any letter, any package. Then print the postage directly onto envelopes, labels, even plain paper, and hand it to your mail carrier. There's no guesswork. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage you need for any class of mail. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer, a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer. It includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's Stamps.com. Enter WSJ. It's 11 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back. She has America's First News.
Good morning. Israel pulled ground forces from Gaza today amid a 72-hour truce with Hamas. Egypt talks were geared toward a permanent end to the fighting, which Gaza officials say has killed around 1,800 Palestinians. Israel says that about 64 soldiers and 3 civilians have died in the fighting. Well, the second American aid worker who contracted Ebola in West Africa was expected to arrive at Emory Hospital in Atlanta. 59-year-old Nancy Wright-Bull was reported in serious condition. Emory doctors also caring for 33-year-old Dr. Kent Brantley, who along with Wright-Bull were believed to be the first Ebola patients treated in the United States.
We have been hearing some concern about safety, and frankly, we view that as an opportunity for education.
Emory doctor Bruce Ribner, Brantley's wife, said her husband was in good spirits. Meanwhile, New York's Mount Sinai Hospital said that it was testing a man with certain symptoms who'd traveled to West Africa. A federal judge in Montgomery, Alabama, says a portion of state law requiring abortion clinic doctors to have admitting privileges at a local hospital is unconstitutional. Spokeswoman for the state attorney general says that an appeal will be made. Chinese authorities have detained two Canadian expats on suspicion of spying. Canadian media and local government records indicated that Kevin and Julia Dawn Garat had lived in China since 1984 and ran a coffee shop near the river that marked the border between China and North Korea. Today brings an update on the large services part of our economy. In the meantime, stock futures are a little on the negative side after a higher close. The Dow was up about 76, the S&P added 14, the NASDAQ 31. Volume was relatively light.
The big question then is what happens when everybody comes back from summer vacation in September and we are 2 months away from a midterm election and et cetera, et cetera.
That's James Gall with Boston Advisors. An unusual break-in near Philadelphia, PA, where police say two teenaged boys broke into a home and baked themselves some drug-laced brownies. Police in the city's northwest suburb said the 17-year-olds were found with more than 2 pounds of an unspecified drug.
They broke in.
2 pounds sounds like a heck of a lot.
Yes. And they just started baking?
They were baking, Gordon.
They were baking and got baked.
Mm.
Something along those lines. Thank you, Gina. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business, so I know from experience hiring new employees can be tough. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 50-plus job sites, including Craigslist, LinkedIn, and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 200,000 businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by T-Mobile. Unleash the potential of your business with T-Mobile, the company that's changing the way business does wireless. Here's a way to keep your kids off the couch and away from the TV and video games during the summer. A pricey engineering course for high schoolers at Johns Hopkins University. It culminates in a competition to build the strongest bridge out of dry spaghetti to Baltimore. And Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert. Scott, explain the program.
The idea is to give high school students who are interested in engineering a 4-week class that's really hands-on, really teaches them to think. And one of the projects they do throughout the 4 weeks is to build a bridge made of nothing but spaghetti and glue, and then test it by adding weights to it to see which one can withstand the most weight.
So this is for high school kids?
Right. These students are typically rising juniors and rising seniors, and they come from all over the country and all over the world, in fact. This year, the 120 students at the Hopkins campus in Baltimore, there were students from 11 different countries, and Hopkins also has this program at 11 other sites around the U.S., including some in California. So it's a pretty big program.
Wow. Is it difficult to get into?
I think it is difficult to get into. I don't know what the acceptance rate is, but certainly the students who are there are pretty interested in this subject area and eager to really kind of get their hands dirty.
Wow. Yeah, especially at that age, right? If you're a little bit younger, you might just be testing the waters about something that's mildly interesting. But if you're committing to yourself to a program at Johns Hopkins, odds are you're pretty serious about it.
Right. And a big part of the program is to foster the interest that kids have in engineering and show them that it's fun. The hope ultimately is that they will pursue this in college and then make a career out of engineering because there is a huge demand for bright students to go into that field, and so they're trying to help sort of encourage them along the way.
This is spaghetti right out of the box, or it's been cooked and then dried out? What kind of spaghetti are we talking about?
No, it's spaghetti right out of the box.
Oh, wow.
And the director of the program, they try to economize, so she goes to the grocery store and buys the stuff that's on sale. So it's just, you know, ordinary, typical spaghetti right out of the box.
Do you get to eat your bridge afterwards, or is it shown as a model somewhere, or what?
You know, it's funny. There's a retired research professor who's been very involved in the program, and he said his main regret is that he never found an edible glue, because what he would like is, at the end of the program, to put all of these bridges into one big pot and cook up a big vat of spaghetti, have a big
right.
feast. but the director of the program, she told me that's not for her. She's around spaghetti so often that she's just sworn off the stuff. You know, she'll eat ziti, she said, but spaghetti, no thanks.
Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert in Boston. So instructors cram in a bunch of the same material Hopkins freshmen get in a semester-long introductory class, range of engineering disciplines. Tuition, $2,300. You stay on the Hopkins campus, it's $3,200, though financial aid is available. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal This Morning.